building a business plan. Some of our students will want to get started on building their business plan right away. Others will say, hey, let me just wait and let me get started and start doing some marketing first. I can understand both sides. As you know, marketing is one of our touchstones here with the mortgage assignment program and with our Revolution program. But if you do decide that you want to go ahead and put together a business plan, I want to give you some ideas and some things to think about while you're actually doing that. So the first thing that you need when you do a business plan is your executive summary. You know, what's a very quick elevator pitch type speech that your business is about? Tell me what your company description is, your market or customer strategy at any given time, your purchase and investing strategy at any given time, and I have to know a lot about your marketing plan. Operations, how are you going to run your business? And finally, tell me how you're actually going to make some money doing this stuff. Give me your financial analysis. Give me your projections. So with an executive summary, the thing that most people say when you're writing a business plan is actually write your executive summary last. And the reason is because it's supposed to reveal itself just kind of naturally through the more detailed sections of your business plan. So we're actually going to end this slide very briefly, but I promise we will come back and address some of the meatier issues of building an executive summary. With your company description, I want you to go ahead and tell me and tell yourself and tell the other people who are actually reviewing this plan with you, what is the vision for your business? What is your business? What do you do? Let some of your personal motivation drive this. Let some of the motivation of what's going on in the marketplace right now drive this. Talk about specifically the market you serve and your specific area of focus. If you're going to be focusing specifically on maps, I want you to maybe even tell me what neighborhoods you're focusing on. And then if you're working as a team, you need to very specifically define and describe each team member's role. Now, I'm kind of a stickler about this, and the reason why I'm such a stickler is because I've seen many teams, I've seen many partnerships, I've seen the good and I've seen the bad, and I don't want yours to be one of the bad ones. The good ones, every single thing that every team member does is stamped out in advance in writing. Everybody very clearly understands their roles. In the poorer, team plans, everyone's just doing everything. There's no clear delineation between who specifically takes care of what thing. And a lot of times things get sort of hot potatoed around where that, I don't want to deal with it, you deal with it, or I don't want to deal with it, you deal with it. Or it's something that that everyone's supposed to do or one person's supposed to do, and then no one does it. And so you all end up sort of in trouble because you have to have a clear delineation. And then what happens when no one does the things that need to be done is the partners get really upset with each other. And that doesn't lead to good partner relationships or a good business. So some of the partnerships we've seen have broken apart because of that, because one person feels like they're doing all the work, or each individual member feels like they're both doing all the work. Even though they're both doing something, they may not be doing the right thing. So it's important to define the roles of each team member so that you can have success here. Your market and your customer strategy. You have to describe both of these. Heck, you have to have a very high level of intimate knowledge about your market and your customer. In fact, that's the reason why we created this mortgage assignment program, because we had a very intimate knowledge, because we're students of the market, of what was going on in the marketplace and what was going on with our customers and our clients. So when you're defining and describing this as part of your business plan, you need to explain to us and yourself and your mentors and whoever else is reviewing this with you, what stage is your market in? What stage in the market cycle is it in? Is it at the beginning of an upcycle? Is it at the end of a, you know, down cycle, which I guess is the same thing, but is it at the beginning of a down cycle? You know, what are you going to be looking at from an investment standpoint over the next several months to several years? And then you have to describe what opportunities exist at each stage of the market so that you can change your plan and adapt your business and adapt your strategies as the market changes. I know this is the mortgage assignment class, but in our Revolution class, we go through 13 different strategies so that you can be ahead of the market when the market does change. Now, where we are in the market cycle right now is absolutely perfect for the MAPS program. There has never been a more perfect time for it than right now. But you do need to be prepared for different changes in your market, and you do need to be ready to react to those changes. So describe it. How are you going to react to the changing market? And as you're describing your customer, you need to say, you know, who are you focusing on? I think it's pretty clear with the mortgage assignment program that we're focusing on sellers with little, no, or even negative equity. Those are our clients. And for our buyers, we're focusing on buyers that have money, have a down payment, may even have good credit, but just can't get a loan. So describe your customer, describe who you're focusing on, and what is it that they need? You know, your sellers, they have a house that they want to sell, but they can't sell because they don't have any equity in it. They'd have to come to the closing table with money, and they don't have the money to come to the closing table. The buyers, you know, they need to find a house. They want to find a house. They want to start a home. People want to start homes all the time. They get married. They have kids. They have different needs. And our capital market, meaning our banks, aren't keeping up with that. So using this mortgage assignment program, you're enabling your customers, the buyers, to be able to get what they're looking for. And also, how does your product or your service, you know, help them? It's pretty clear with mortgage assignment. We're going to prevent sellers from having to go through a short sale and or worst case scenario, a foreclosure. And we're going to help buyers get the house that they want, the way that they want it, and with some financing in place. With your purchasing and investing strategy, you need to consider a couple of things. First, I need to tell you one of the reasons why we have this slide in here is to give you a couple of different alternatives for when you, say, find a house with equity and you want to buy it. This is a little bit more specific to that in some ways, but we're going to show you how it's going to apply to your mortgage assignment business as well. First, you want to describe what markets you want to focus on. We know we want to look for minimal zero and negative equity homes for this particular strategy, but is there a specific area that you want to focus in? Is it north, south, east, west? I have investors who will drive, you know, 200 miles in two directions, 400 miles total, to invest in their business. And guess what? They're in the car all day and all night, and they're unhappy. You need to pick a specific area and stick with it. And as your business grows and as you find you have time to actually grow your business and look in other areas, then you can focus on those areas as well. What's a great idea when you're looking at mortgage assignment is to find the areas that have high foreclosures. You probably don't want to find a house that's foreclosure because that's not going to work for mortgage assignment. And you probably don't want to find a house that's on the auction block next Tuesday either. But you do want to know where these areas are. And the reason why is there's a reason that these people are facing foreclosure, and that's because they cannot sell their home. So you need to give them an alternative to foreclosure, and that's where the mortgage assignment strategy comes in. So you will be looking at foreclosure zones to tell you where to market your product. Livable houses. This kind of goes to the fact that, you know, the best mortgage assignment deals are houses that are move-in ready, the houses that don't need a lot of work. Because what happens when a house needs a lot of work and your buyer goes to look at it? All of a sudden, their down payment goes from $10,000 to maybe $5,000 because they look at it and recognize that, hey, this house is going to need some work. So you're going to very much focus on houses that are very livable, in fact, more than livable, so that your buyer can move right in and you can pocket more of those profits yourself and more of that down payment yourself. Do you want to look at the low end, cheaper houses or high end or middle income? We think the sweet spot for mortgage assignment is if you look at the rents, and if the rents in a certain area are say $1,200, okay, and the neighborhoods that you're looking at have monthly mortgage payments for your mortgage assignment deals between $1,000 and $1,400, $1,500. We call that the sweet spot for mortgage assignment because basically a homeowner or a buyer, when they're thinking about becoming a homeowner, they're going to say, well, should I just rent a house or should I buy a house? Well, gosh, I can rent a house. I can buy that house for the same dollar amount that I could buy a house. Plus I get all the benefits of homeownership. So that's what we call our sweet spot. But we do have some additional strategies for lower end markets where this works just as well, and for higher end markets where your paydays can be a lot bigger, obviously, than the lower income or the middle income market. Your paydays are fewer and far between, but when you get them, they're very nice. And if you find someone who's in the high end market, don't kick them out of bed, as I would say. Definitely take a look at them, see if there's a market for them for either finding them a house or finding them a buyer. Definitely a good strategy to focus on. You may make this decision based upon what's going on in your life personally. As an example, we have some mentor students who know a lot of doctors and dentists and chiropractors, self-employed people who are having trouble getting loans and are having a lot of trouble getting jumbo loans, which is what they want because they've got the income to be able to afford to buy $1 million property. Well, that mentor student specifically is focusing on the higher end, what we call luxury mortgage assignments, because she has the network. She knows those people. But even if you don't have the network, you can create it through the marketing channels that we've talked about in the presentation. Now, again, strategies you want to focus on, and you need to prioritize these and just sort of figure out what's the thing that you're specifically looking for. Do you want to do mortgage assignment? I hope so. Or do you want to do the variation on mortgage assignment, for example, the equity holding trust? Or if there's a little bit of equity there, do you want to throw in some wraps? And the combo plans. Don't forget about the combo plans. Those are going to be listings. Those are going to be short sales or some combination, obviously, of all of the above. And that's hence the name, the combo plan. And you may say, heck, Shanoa, I don't want to focus on just one of these strategies. I'm going to take them as they come. And what I say is more power to you. I think that's a great idea because that's how I personally take them. But if you want to look at one very specifically, the easier of all of these is probably the mortgage assignment and the wrap. As you get into equity holding trust, you get into more exotic transfer, ways to transfer a property. And that may not be exactly how you want to start, but you've got a great set up ready already for mortgage assignment. And that's where most people are going to be starting their business. And then they may graduate to the equity holding trust as their business grows. Now outline your purchase strategy, no money down deals, in and out deals, which are your mortgage assignment deals, which we love. Or do you want to do some of the longer term deals? And what do I mean by that? Well, those are the deals where you're going to actually get paid down the road. You're going to get paid maybe a little bit on your down payment, maybe $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on your down payment. But if there's equity in it and you decide to wrap it, well, you're going to get a monthly payment as well. Plus you're going to get the big back end, which we love, as soon as your buyer, your end buyer actually refinances it. So outline that as part of your plan. And, you know, obviously you need to tell us how you're going to make money. And there are lots of ways to make money in this business. It's not just the initial down payment. Like I said a second ago, it's also about the wraps and getting paid on the back end and also getting the monthly spread on the payment. So there are some great purchasing and investing strategies that you need to think about and include in your business plan. Now, Phil went through the marketing plan with you guys in great detail in earlier sections, but I just want to give a quick summary as to how you're going to be using it when you actually set up your business plan. So I'm going to give you a quick summary here, and then I'm going to give you some additional tools that you'll be able to use to put it into action. Marketing plan, marketing in general, you know, you got to get the leads, you got to turn the leads into clients, you've got to negotiate and close those deals. You need to tell us what you're going to do to actually be doing that. We gave you several different ways to do your marketing and a lot of different tools. Now, at this point, you know, you just need to decide which of those tools that you're going to use and which of those tools you're going to focus on. You know, marketing isn't just finding sellers, and in this case specifically, it's also about finding buyers because they're the ones with the big down payment. So you need to figure out what tools you're going to use to actually sell your property and what marketing tools specifically you're going to use to actually sell your property. And as the slide says, we're going to go into a lot more detail in some of the additional slides. Now with operations, you have your action plan, you have your property sales strategy, and you have your power team. We're going to go into a lot of detail on power team. In fact, we're going to go into a lot of detail on your action plan. In fact, I'm going to give you a 5-week action plan in the next couple of slides. And your property sales strategy. You know, I love this product for you guys out there because of the REI matcher and the marketing that you know, does for you. You're also going to have marketing you're going to do with your realtor, marketing that you're going to do on Craigslist, and a lot of other ways that you're going to be putting your marketing together to actually sell your property and not just find your seller. How you're going to also match them up. Is it owner financing? Are you going to use that as your big pull in, as your big draw? Is it going to be rent to own? Are you going to use lease option, wraps, again, equity holding trust, some of the other items? Power team, we went through this in detail in some of the earlier slides. How are you going to engage your power team? How are you going to leverage your power team and delegate some of the work to them so that they can make you even more successful? And there, by having a power team, obviously, it's going to build your capacity to do many, many, many more deals, and even with limited upfront financial investment, which is always nice when you're getting a nice return by working with other people who are the experts in your field. With your financial analysis and projections, this is the section that you're going to use to tell us how you're going to make money. What are your financial goals? You're going to put those goals into perspective, but you're going to build the plan from the bottom up. So what do I mean? So you may say, I want to make an extra $100,000 a year. Okay, so to do that, to make a full $100,000 next year, how much do I have to spend? How many people do I have to talk to? How many leads do I need to convert? How many people do I need to get under contract? You're going to have to sort of build it from the ground up after you reach your overall objective of what the financial dollar amount is. And you're going to define how all of your different business models work, whether it's mortgage assignment, lease options, equity holding trust, wraps, how all of those different business models and strategies are going to work to contribute to your bottom line. And lastly, you really need to define a timeline for yourself. Are you in this business for 1 year? Are you in this business for 5 years? I think, you know, if you put some numbers to that and put some reality on it, then once you get there, you're going to feel much better about the timeline that you've created. And some people want to do a full 5-year timeline, and I understand why, because they're serious planners. Some people only want to do a 6 month or 1 year timeline. And I understand that too, because they want to see if this is going to be something that works for them. And if it does work for them, they may say, I'm going to shift it into high gear. So now I've got to change all of my financial projections and everything like that, because I've got this thing figured out. So do put a timeline on your business plan and on your financials, so that you can see how your plan lays out over the years. Now we're back to the beginning with our executive summary. I promise you we'd be back, and we're back. Because they say write it last, now you've had the opportunity to go through the individual sections of your business plan. Now you've had the opportunity to really flesh out what your plan is and what you're going to do and what your goals are. Now you can really put together your executive summary. You're going to make this a standalone document. What do I mean by that? Well, this is a document that, you know, you could present to someone, and someone could get, you know, a very good gist of what you're trying to do in the marketplace very quickly just by reading this document. You're obviously going to start with a problem, or you're going to start with a solution. With Mortgage Assignment, we've got tough problems, but we've got great solutions. So you're going to go through what those are when you're writing your executive summary. And you're going to summarize each different section of your business plan, so you're bringing it all together. And then, as we've said many times before, we really want you to focus on your marketing plan. We really want you to focus on your action plan, because that's where truly the rubber hits the road, and that's going to separate the successful investors from the not so successful investors. And we typically say, hey, make your executive summary less than one page. You know, don't make it a novel. You know, this can be a summary. We've seen some people make their executive summaries a paragraph or two, and we've seen other people make it, you know, singles or no space, you know, 8-point font, and just barely fit it on one page. So however you use it to express yourself, do that. I think for you guys, as you're approaching the mortgage assignment business, you know, your problem's going to be pretty easy. It's going to be pretty straightforward. It's people want to sell their homes, they don't have equity, and they don't have money to bring to the closing table. Buyers want to buy houses, they can't get loans. So you're putting those two together, and you're creating an incredible solution and an incredible opportunity for those people and yourselves as you build this business out. Some final thoughts on the business plan and some additional tips before we get into some of the nitty-gritty of the marketing plan and the action plan. One thing that I really encourage my students to do is to share this plan with their colleagues, share it with their mentors, share it with their family members, share it with their partners, obviously, right? Too many people don't do that, and so if there's a flaw in the plan, they don't realize it until it's too late, or until they've already been operating under the wrong plan and spending money under the wrong plan. So do share it with people. Do ask for their feedback on it, and do, you know, treat it as a living and breathing document. What do I mean by that? Well, this is going to be a document that's going to have to be modified over time. Your business is going to change. Your strategy is going to change. Your marketing plan might change. Heck, the market might, you know, totally change. So you do need to be ready for that, and you do need to be ready to adjust it as, like I said, the market changes. Now, a good example of that is we had some investor students and colleagues of ours who were only doing the lease option strategy in Texas. And when Texas said, hey guys, sorry, can't do this anymore, and put some major restrictions on it that have made it functionally impossible to do, and we call it, you know, really sort of illegal to do, that's all they were doing. That was their only focus. Remember, you will have to evaluate this plan from time to time. And as your market changes, you know, you may find that you have to hit the reset button. So just be open to that, be ready to do it, and have some other strategies in your back pocket to be able to do it. With the mortgage assignment plan, we've given you some additional strategies that you can use. But if you want some more information about this and some more information about, you know, other just investing strategies in general, then you should consider taking a look and trying the Revolution program that we have, because that has 13 individual strategies in it. But the mortgage assignment is the one that we love right now, so I think you're going to be doing just fine with this one.
Alrighty, building your marketing plan. Chanelle asked me to tell my story about building a marketing plan, and all I can say about marketing is nothing is more important than marketing. Very often I get an investor who says, I'm just not making enough money as a real estate investor, and the first question I always ask is, well, how much marketing are you doing? And I can tell you every single time, because this is a numbers game, if you're not doing enough marketing, you're not getting enough leads, you're not getting enough deals, you're not getting enough dollars. And the guys who are doing the most marketing are making the most money. It's pretty darn simple. So if you want to make more money, you got to do more marketing. And I always also like to tell a story of what I call a tale of three investors, because we see this time and time again, especially with new investors. Most new investors kind of fall into one of three camps. You know, the first investor, they go out there and they just don't do enough marketing. And lo and behold, after a month or 2 months or 3 months, they only get, you know, two or three or four leads. And two or three or four leads, that's just not enough leads to get a deal. So they get a little frustrated and they say, there's just no good deals out there. I just can't make this work. They end up getting washed out of the business. We call those the skeptics. Okay, and remember, it might take 5 or 10 or even 20 deals, leads, to get a deal. So if you're not getting enough leads, you're not going to be able to do a deal. So the skeptics, they don't do enough marketing, they don't get enough leads, they don't get a deal, and they end up leaving the business. Our second camp we call the gamblers. They're also not doing enough marketing. And what happens after their first month or 2 months or 3 months, they only get 3, 4, 5 leads. And they look at their leads and they say, well, let's pick number three. You know, that's the best of the five. And they go and do deal number three. Well, just because it was the best of your five leads doesn't mean it was a good lead. It just means it was the best of the five leads. We call that group the gamblers. Sometimes they make money on those deals and sometimes they don't. But if they don't make money, then at the end of that experience, 100% of their brand new investor experience will be bad, and those people tend to get washed out of the business. Of course, the ones that pick deal number three because it was the best of five, even though it wasn't a good deal, and do it anyway, and they make money on it, they have now been rewarded for bad behavior. And we call that group number three, the lucky gamblers. The lucky gamblers pick the best of the few they're looking at, they do it, they make some money, and then what do? They do some more marketing, and they pick the next deal that comes along, and sooner or later, when you're a gambler, you're going to lose, and sooner or later, the lucky gamblers get washed out of the business as well. So you don't want to be the skeptic, the gambler, or the lucky gambler. You simply want to do enough marketing that you've got constant, what's called deal flow, constant leads that you're looking at, or deals that you're looking at, that you're going to be able to pick from, cherry pick from, in order to do deals that make you dollars. So there's more problems associated with not being a successful investor, have a root in not doing enough marketing, so that you're not one of those people. The bottom line is put together a marketing plan and make sure you execute that plan and are doing enough marketing to make a good amount of money in this business.
Building a budget for your marketing campaigns. Now, this is where we're going to get into some of the meat of actually building your marketing plan from a budgetary standpoint and from a time standpoint. And you will need to set your budget up front of how much time and how much money that you can spend on marketing. Remember, some of your campaigns are going to take more money. Others are going to take more time. The more money campaigns are obviously going to be the ones that you outsource, for example, the direct mail campaigns. The marketing campaigns that take more time, well, that's going to be the door knocking and the dropping off of flyers and just sort of doing it yourself. So you need to figure out how much time and how much money you have to invest into your marketing plan. And you need to allocate your budget to a series of different campaigns. So those are going to be activities that are going to generate leads for you. Now, I have a little note here that says stick to it. Sometimes your marketing, you may feel this is not working. Well, don't just try it once and give up. You need to try it maybe several times and track your results on it. Because if something isn't going wrong, you can actually go in there and tweak it. It may be, and I've seen some investors that really changed one word, added one word in their entire marketing piece, and that changed their response rate dramatically. So if it works, obviously you want to do more. If it's not working, you're going to want to go ahead and tweak it out somehow. Here's a template for actually building your marketing plan. Now, this takes into account many of the marketing strategies that Phil's talked about in this program, from flyers to bandit signs to reverse bandit signs to magnetic signs, door hangers, driving for dollars, getting your business card, letters to non-owner occupants, to vacant houses, to expired and withdrawn listings, Craigslist marketing, which is really important, your REI matcher updates, your notice of default letters, if you're advertising to people who are in apartments to get them to move into a house to buy it, this is where you would put that, the amount of dollars and money and time that you're spending on this. Expired listings, postcards, vacant houses, postcards. Are you going to actually buy a list and mail and or email to that list? Are you going to be working with a realtor and buying a list from maybe from them to advertise to? Letters of intent, networking, which we really want you to work on, joining your real estate clubs, which will help you with your network, and building your network, just getting out there and making calls, just spending time on the phone, talking to people who might have their house listed for lease, that they may be interested in actually selling it, but they just don't think that they can, and they don't understand the options that are available to them. And then you have your for sale by owner calls. So this template details each individual strategy, and you can manipulate it to where it's a template that works for you and uses the specific marketing strategies that you want and like to use. And then you're going to insert your cost per piece. How much do each of these individual items cost from a financial standpoint? And then how much of do each of these individual items cost you from a time standpoint? How long is it going to take you to put flyers out? How long is it going to take you to put up bandit signs? How long is it going to take you to write some of these letters? How long are you going to spend networking, right? And then you've got your quantity, which in this case, everything's zero, and then your cost, which is everything's zero, and your total time, which is everything's zero. The next slide, we're going to actually put some numbers to it so you can see how a plan would actually lay out and how much you could spend or, you know, not spend, depending on, you know, your financial means, and how much time you can spend on it or not spend on it, depending on how busy you are, on building your marketing plan. So I promised you that we would look at a marketing plan in practice, and that is exactly what this is. I apologize for the size of the font on this thing and how much is jammed in here, but I really wanted to show you guys and capture, you know, the essence of what you could be doing on a monthly marketing plan. If you look closely on it, there is a box at the bottom, and it has your monthly, weekly, and daily totals. Now, the monthly total for this person's marketing plan is they're spending about $1,000 a month doing marketing, which is converting into about 22 leads a month. Not bad. Some of you out there may be raising a flag right now and saying, Shanoa, I'm sorry, I don't have $1,000 a month to spend on marketing. And I'd say, I understand, I get you. I do want to point out, however, that many of the activities that are listed here are what I call once a year activities. Basically, you're probably only going to order business cards once a year. You're only going to order your magnetic sign once a year. You're only going to join your real estate club once a year. The real estate club on here alone is $300 of that $1,000, budget that I've got there for you. So you can see how easy it is to tweak some of your items up here, and you can focus on things that require more time or less time. In this particular plan, I have someone spending about 31 hours a week on marketing. So they're not spending, you know, all their time on marketing, but they're spending a good amount of time on marketing. You may tweak it so that you spend more time than this, significantly more time on this, and less money. So you can do that by picking which of the different marketing practices that you want to put into use for yourself. Some of the expensive ones, as you'll note up here, is when you're doing some of the direct mail. That's, you know, has a high cost per piece. However, if you're hand addressing them yourself, if you're hand stamping them yourself and not going through a print house, then it might be cheaper. And in fact, it might be a lot faster, and you might get them out to your clients a lot quicker than some of your competition will. But this is just an example of how you can put this marketing plan into practice and use this to also figure out, hey, what's my response rate from some of these activities? Is it, you know, 5% response rate, which is really awesome and high, or is it 0.2% response rate? You need to figure out, and I've got a guide for you here. But each person, depending on where they, you know, put their marketing, what neighborhoods they put their marketing in are may have a different response rate. So as you actually get into this process, you're going to adjust your response rate from your forecast to your actual, and you'll see how it changes. And this is definitely something that you want to understand and definitely something that you want to track. And the reason why I say that is because if you don't know where your leads are coming from, then you don't know where you need to spend money to get more leads. So that could be a problem. And by tracking them, you're understanding how you're putting your dollars and your time to work and how effective that is for you.